This is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Trails now go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel blessed trails, yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails, blessed trails.
Welcome to Blessed Trails. I am your host, Belinda Gale, and our show features interviews with wonderful guests, as well as gospel, inspirational, and patriotic music with a definite Western flair. Today's guest is someone I have admired from afar for a very long time, and I could not be more tickled to have her on the show today. So let's kick off this show with one of her songs, Nothing I Like Better.
Thank you.
Well, our guest today, while finding her way in the shadow of her very famous sister, has definitely forged her own path and created her own sound and weathered some very difficult storms to bring her to where she is today. She has garnered numerous awards and nominations from the GMA and the CCMA. And she's also been named Artist of the Year by Positive Country Music. Didn't even know there was that. That really tickled to know that's out there, where she's also achieved several number one singles. But all of this is not what makes her special. It is her kind and compassionate heart and her willingness to openly share the life lessons that she has learned from a very difficult seasons in her life. I am delighted to welcome to the show Susie McIntyre. Welcome, Susie.
Hey, Belinda. Thank you very much. Boy, what a welcome and introduction.
Oh, well, you're quite welcome. And you know what? Gosh, I could imagine that it gets pretty tedious being continually linked to your iconic sister, Reba. But I have to admit, it's a curiosity to the rest of us. So let's just touch on that a bit out of the way and then get on to your fascinating story.
Well, it's, you know, I don't think any of us, of course, which sometimes we don't realize it, but we don't pick the family that we're born into. And I had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder for a few years there because Reba, my brother Paik, and I grew up singing together as the Singing McIntyres. And then Reba got her contract, and we all went our separate ways. And it was like, oh, man, what happened to our life dream of being a trio? And, you know, this is happening, and this is happening. And then God kept showing me the way that I was supposed to go. And so that chip on my shoulder turned into, hey, realizing that we truly do not have a choice as to the birth order that we have or the family that we're in, and that Reba has paved the way and opened up many, many, many doors for me, not even knowing that she's doing it, because she has such a great reputation. She has a wonderful way of working. And it opens doors for me that I would never imagine. So God's in control of that. I'm very, very proud to be her sister.
Well, I hear in your voice when you talk about her, that's really precious. And we really do all have our own path. And
you bet.
The Lord has something very specific and be the very best that we can be, then it's much more relaxing and easy to just flow with God's plan for our lives, as opposed to looking at everybody else around us and realizing we are incredibly unique within Him. So
that's exactly right. We've got to not look around, because we always play catch up or looking back to the past. All we can do right now is be in the future and be in the present and use what we have right now, not a second ago or tomorrow. And we'll be okay, you know, in that.
I agree completely. Now, one of the stories that I loved with the bio that Mary sent me, and please give her a big hug for me. She sent me everything I needed to put the show together, and I was delighted to get all of that. But and when I was reading in that, I loved when you talked about your Grandma Smith, and I would really love to hear more about that and her influence in your life.
Well, my Grandma Smith was my mama's mama. Her maiden name was Reba Brassfield, and her parents were from Tupelo, Mississippi. And her dad was a store owner, and he died of TB when my grandma was a young girl. And so the mom, Susie, that I was named after, she brought her small family to Oklahoma to sharecrop with her family just about 45 to 50 minutes west of where we live right now. And so she brought her small family. They survived, and then that's the reason why my grandma was here and why my mama was here in this part of the country. I was the fourth of four kids, and after most all of them got into school, my mama went to work for the superintendent of schools, mainly at Kiowa, Oklahoma, to help him start the library because they had consolidated schools. And so she went to work, and so she needed somebody to keep me. And when my daddy couldn't keep me on the ranch when he was home, not rodeoing, he would keep me. And if he couldn't, she would call the bus driver, Gene Wilson, to come by our house and pick me up. And on his way into town, after he had picked up my aunt on the school bus, I would get off the school bus and I would stay the day with my grandma. And her influence on me was huge. One was that I had a total respect for older people because of her. She commanded that respect from me. She expected me to be obedient, and when I wasn't obedient, I paid that price. But she was kind. She was thoughtful with me. She showed me things. She taught me. She let me help in her kitchen. She even let me help her wash dishes every once in a while and help her cook. And so I learned a magnitude of things from her. But not only the things like that, but she taught me how to be thoughtful and reflective about the Lord. In the hot summertime, we'd sit out on the front porch and try to get a breeze on the front porch swing, and she would tell me her stories and experience with God. And she would tell me that she'd say, "Susie, he's coming back for us one of these days, and it's going to be soon." Of course, that's been almost 50 years ago, but I still fully expect her words to be true, that he is coming back for us, and that she instilled in me a respect for God, and not only a respect when you're in church, but a respect for his creation and people that he has created, and to be respectful to them. So she just taught me so much, and she also taught me, because she would sing, and she was very instrumental in that and given me an appreciation of music, especially in church. So I credit my grandma with me saying yes to Jesus when I was 12 years old at a Baptist church revival. It wasn't necessarily about what the evangelist was speaking about. It was that he was talking about the man who my grandma loved, Jesus Christ, the one that she served and loved. And I've told that story so many times, and my cousins, which there were many, have told me grandma did the same thing for me. She led me to Jesus.
Wow. That is such an incredible story, and to me, as a grandma, and I think, are you a grandma as well? I'm thinking maybe.
I am. I am.
It just really just magnifies in our own lives that even though we don't have the same kind of influence that we would have on these children as a parent does, but and I'm thinking maybe even a more special place in the lives of these children to be able to influence them. And your grandmother is just the epitome of the kind of influence we can have in our grandchildren's lives. What an incredible story. I just really love that. So now the song that we're getting ready to do, Susie, did you write this, "I Saw Him in Your Eyes"? Because it sounds like your grandma.
I didn't write it, Belinda. A few years back when I was, in fact, this album right here, Nothing I Like Better and I Saw Him in Your Eyes, is an album called Real Love. And in 1993, I signed with Integrity Music out of Mobile, Alabama. And they said, "Susie, where do you want your music to go?" And I said, "I want it to be music that people can listen to not only on Sunday. I want them to be able to listen to it Monday through Saturday. And for to be able to sing songs that influence them in their regular life, not just their church life," which, Belinda, I am a huge advocate of. I don't see any difference in our church life, in our regular life. I don't believe there's
Amen.
A difference in secular. And I believe everything that we do is instrumental of God's hand in our life. And there's no difference. Not that we have to be super spiritual all the time, but we're his. I mean, he's our plug-in, and we're just conduits of his. So I was
with
Integrity Music. Thank you. I was with Integrity, and they said, "Who would you like to pattern your career after?" And I said, "Paul Overstreet." I said, "He sings songs that are about family, about life, about past, about relationships." And I said, "That's who I want to pattern my life." Well, and music. And not too long after that, they wrote a book, and it was a bunch of country music artists, and they asked them, They said, tell us a story of who touched you for Jesus. And the name of the book is I Saw Him in Your Eyes. And so they did, I don't know, maybe 30 little short stories of how these people came to faith. And so Billy Ayres and Paul Overstreet wrote the song I Saw Him in Your Eyes from my story about my grandma.
Oh, so it is about your grandma. You just didn't write it. Okay, this sounds just like your grandma. So let's listen to it now. It's a wonderful song, I Saw Him in Your Eyes. That is just a wonderful song, Susie, and you do a beautiful job in it. You can sure feel the love that you have for your grandma when you sing that. It's wonderful.
Thank you very much, Belinda. They did a great job in writing that song, didn't they?
Oh, it's they could not have captured it more. It's just the fabulous. So
yeah,
you said that you just really made a commitment to the Lord when you were 12. And that's an age when a lot of young people do their race in faith.
Excuse us, we're having a moment of technical difficulty, and we'll be right back to talk more with Belinda and Susie McIntyre.
Of heaven
Sorry about those technical difficulties. Just part of the game, I guess. Sorry about that, Susie.
Oh, you're all right. You're sounding good now, though. That's just the way it is.
Oh, good. Well, good. Just the way it is. So let me backtrack a little bit. Where I was trying to go with this is to just kind of bring us forward with your walk with the Lord, and then, you know, hooking up with your sister and being on the road with her, and how, you know, what we're just talk about the challenges and the growth that I'm sure you experienced through that whole process.
Yeah. Well, we all went through school. Like I said, I was the fourth of four kids, part of the McIntyre family, in case someone has just tuned in. But my older sister, Reba, then up from her was Paige McIntyre, and then our older sister, Alice, she never really sang professionally, but she sure can sing. She was more into the rodeo aspect of things, which everybody did rodeo except me. But we were a very, very busy family as we grew up. My brother played football and rodeoed. My older sister rodeoed, played basketball. Reba played basketball and sang. And we were just really busy in FFA, and my brother FFA, and we were in FHA and 4-H. So all of those things worked together to help us to be on stages and in front of people and helping us to get confidence. So in our school, what happened with our singing career is that my mama wanted to be a singer when she grew up, as she was growing up. But their economic status and whether it was proper or not for her to be on a stage, and her family was very religious, and so she sang in churches a lot, but she never did fulfill her dream of being on the stage and singing country and western music. And so she kind of lived her life through us. She was the superintendent's secretary, and she knew that there was a lot of talent in our school. And so she went to the school board one school board meeting night and said, "I've got a proposal for you. We've got these kids that are very talented in the school, and we've got a teacher that's a very talented musician. Can we have 1 hour a day as a regular class, as a music class, for these kids to go into the auditorium and study music, to learn how to perform in a band?" And they approved that. They got a budget. And out of that group of kids, one that I'm very, very proud of was a man named Roger Wills, who hardly even knew what a bass guitar was. But he played for us in school, and then he went on to play with Reba on the road when I was with Reba, 80 to 82, right in there, and he stayed with her for longer than that. And he continues to play with Alan Jackson today. So out of that little band in a little bitty town in southeastern Oklahoma, graduating classes of 20 or less, came out of that Reba McIntyre, my brother Paige McIntyre, myself, numerous more that are still playing music today, Roger Wills. And it's just an amazing thing how the arts can help kids make a living the rest of their life. So Mama's kids, Alice, Paige, Reba, and myself, three out of the four of us have made a living in music, and a lot because of her going to that school board that night.
Wow. So yet they're trying to cut music out of schools these days. I don't get it.
Not everybody's going to go on and get a scholarship in athletics. Not everybody's going to be able to do that. And yet I know that athletics makes a school a lot of money because of attendance. But and it keeps kids in school, and that's a great thing. But why not do both? We need carpenters. We need welders. We need those vocational skills that – We were very, very blessed. A girl needs to be able to sew a button on for any other reason, just as therapy, you know, when things are they're hard, you know, you just got to do that, you know, get down to basics and sit and envelop yourself, you know. And I might be a little old-fashioned, but I think our education system is a little bit, has gone a different way that's not really good in a lot of ways. But I graduated from school thinking I was going to go on to Oklahoma State University and become an accountant. And I did get a minor in accounting. I got a major in personnel management, which is a lot of, I've used that a lot. I got out of school not knowing what I wanted to do. Worked for an oil lease company for about a year. And then Reba called me and said, would you like to be a companion to me on the road, sing backup, travel with me? And I said, you bet. So I traveled with her until I got married, had my first child, worked with her in her office, and then I felt like I needed to go a different way. And so that kind of brings us up to the point where I was married to the father of my three kids, who are all adults, and there was a lot of abuse in our marriage. And I mean a lot. We even wrote a book about it. And it was, you know, we were traveling from church to church, doing concerts, fairs, wherever we could perform, and mostly taking our kids on the road with us when we could, and fighting like cats and dogs in the motorhome, and then going out and telling how good Jesus was on stage. So we lived very falsely, and yet we said we have hard times, we struggle with this. And but our marriage just couldn't make it through, and so it was a really hard time for my kids. They've had to battle through that. I'm continuing to help them, and we work, you know, that we don't want to carry on that ugly tradition of abuse, that it stopped with this generation. And I regret that I didn't get out of that marriage when they were young. But I think it would have been even harder on them as young kids as it was as adults. So, you know, as a mom like that, you're stuck. You know, you want your kids to be around their dad. And it's a tough decision. And my heart goes out to women in that predicament.
Wow. Wow. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but I would like you to set up this next song, because it really kind of, it speaks to that, and it's called Sticks and Stones. And how did you come to record this?
I was separated from my ex-husband, and I was sitting in front of my computer one day, and I was thinking about the types of abuse. There's emotional, verbal, physical, spiritual even. There's all kinds of abuse. People can be abusive across the room with a look, with a shrug or a toss of the head or with words or with a baseball bat. But I got to thinking about the verbal abuse and how destructive that is. And the old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, came through my head. And I wrote it down, and I thought, you know, that is such a farce. They do hurt. And yet our kids are still reciting that little phrase on the playground even today, you know, as a defense. And so I put that in my computer, and not 5 seconds later, another statement came through my mind, and I know it was from God. I'm not this smart. Said, they cut just like a knife, but leave no scar that you can see. And I knew that was from God, and I wrote it into my computer, and I immediately pasted it to an email, and I emailed it to Reba, and I said, do you think this could be made into a song? And she said, I don't know, but I would send it to Autumn, who is my niece, my brother's daughter in Nashville. And Autumn loved the statements, and she and another guy put the song together called Sticks and Stones.
Wow. Well, we're going to listen to it right now. Sticks and Stones.
Careful what you say to me, be careful where you go. I
chickens as sick as skin can be. I learned to make it so. I don't doubt you care for me. I can feel you do. But love can hide in the shadows when your words turn black and blue. Sticks and stones sometimes break bones, but bones will heal in time. The things you say that you don't mean still echo in my mind. They cut just like a knife, but leave no scars that you can see. Except down in my heart they take a part of you and me. Whatever has been haunting you, I wish I could set it free. Then no more would I see your tears and hear apologies. Just more words of broken glass that burn just like the sun. I don't know if we can fix the damage that's been done. Sticks and stones sometimes break bones, but bones will heal in time. The things you say that you don't mean still echo in my mind. They cut just like a knife, but leave no scars that you can see. Except down in my heart, they take a part of you and me. Quiet now and peaceful here, but will it be for long? The stillness in your eyes is like the calm before the storm. Sticks and stones sometimes break bones, but bones will heal in time. The things you say that you don't mean still echo in my mind. They cut just like a knife, but leave no scars that you can see. Except down in my heart, they take a part of you and me.
That is a very powerful song. Very powerful.
Yeah.
I have to say, I don't talk about it much, but it really resonated with me. My first husband was very verbally abusive, and it wasn't until he became physically abusive and I was concerned about the safety of our young daughter that I had the courage to get out. And
yeah.
It's much more difficult than people realize. And I actually went on website and listen to a promo video that you did. You're now the a spokesperson for the Community Learning Council, and you have a video on the Mary Kay Foundation website that kind of talks about people's attitudes towards women who are in these abusive relationships. And it was just really struck a chord with me. And I would like you to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. You know, when a woman finally comes out and, says, you know, my husband is abusing me. I know one of the very first things that someone said back to me when I finally said, you know, he's hitting on me or whatever is, what are you doing to make him so angry? And another one was, Can't You Keep Your Mouth Shut? And it's like, okay, well, that's the last time I'm going to say anything about this. I guess you're not the one I'm going to come to for help. And then you get ashamed, you know, because you think it is your fault, because abusers are very, very good at making it your fault. If you just would not do this, or if you would just do this, then I wouldn't be angry with you. And what an unfair thing it happens to children who are so innocent in those situations. They can't do anything about that. And yet abusive parents will do that. They'll put these guilt trips on kids. And so, you know, then, you know, loss of income because you can't show up for work with bruises, or you're so emotionally racked that you can't meet anyone. You can't hold jobs. You know, your attendance at work is fails. And then people, once you make the decision to go back and try to make your marriage work, then they fail to support you. Then your family turns their back. Well, she's never going to get away from him or he. I mean, I'm not just saying men can be abusive. I'm saying women can be just as abusive as men. And it goes both ways. And so, you know, there's just so many things that are in this that it's just a ripple effect. It's not just the bruises. It's just not the fights. It's not, you know, the moving out so much of a person's life that people really don't even realize how much it is.
Oh, that's so true. It's so much more complicated. And I really loved in that video when you said, people say, well, just leave. Well, just leave, and that is not as easy as it sounds.
Never that
just
simple.
The practical side of it alone is like the job, the taking care of the kids. But people don't realize, as women who live in abuse or men who live in abuse with a woman, that your self esteem, your confidence, everything is like below bottom, and you go to the bottom, and then you go below, and that's where you are, and you think you're incapable of accomplishing anything or being productive or being able to do anything. And so it's so much more difficult than what people think.
Oh, it's terrible. It affects your health. I was constantly trying to, you know, make sure that the kids were perfect order, and that just to try to escape us being beaten or cussed or whatever. And it was it's a very emotional and tragic thing that happens to families. And another thing is, I touched on this before we played Sticks and Stones, that I, as a mother and wife, and as a Christian, you know, I felt like if I divorced, I'm going to let God down, you know, because I took these matrimonial vows, and I said, till death do us part, and if I divorce, you know, I'm going to go straight to hell, for one thing. And it's like, no, my God is bigger than that. And in fact, when it happened the first time, my covenant was broken. I mean, there's no law that trumped that. I mean, when the person is abused, and your covenant is broken, a spouse should never treat their spouse like that, because that's Jesus' greatest commandment, is love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love others. You know, that's your closest neighbor. That's one flesh, and you should never treat people like that. So one day when there was verbal abuse going on between us, and I was sitting there thinking, why in the world can't I get out of this? And I begged God to do something in this relationship. And when he left, I went to my bed and I cried it out to the Lord, and I said, God, please do something. And this is the turning point in my bad relationship. I heard him say to me, you want me to do something about this? Why don't you? And I felt okay. I was okay at that point to go and do what I needed to do. And I asked for a separation. And then in 2007, I filed for divorce. and then my divorce came through in 2008 in May. And in 1 month later, I met the most fantastic man in my life, and that was my husband, Mark Eaton. We met at Cannon Beach, Oregon, totally and shouldn't have met. Like, the odds were so out of this world that we would never have met. And we met there in Cannon Beach. I was singing for a family conference. He came down to visit us. We met at the supper table. He looked at me and he said, I guess you're the singer. And I said, yep, I am. I said, you'll excuse me, I got to go do sound check. I was traveling by myself. I was booking my own airplane flights. I was driving myself. I was having to let anybody start my music from the back of the room, and I was just surviving and catching my breath and beginning to breathe, and met the most gorgeous and handsome man that there ever was, and the one who has helped me to rebuild my life and confidence.
Oh, wow. Wow. I love happy endings to difficult stories. That is marvelous.
Yeah.
Just marvelous. Well, I got to meet your precious husband when y'all were in Prescott, and he is a dear. He definitely is a dear, and obviously very much in love with you. It's so precious.
Well, we are in love with each other. As I speak right now, he's outside doing on a tractor, my son's tractor, and we're trying to make a better yard and everything, and he's having a heck of a time out there. He's just enjoying it so much. And we get to travel together. Just here lately, we've been to Hempstead, Texas. We go in Rapid City, South Dakota. Then we go to the Florida in Tampa. Then we go to Coolidge, Arizona. And then we're going to go babysit his 3-year-old grandson twins in Salt Lake City, Utah. So we do most everything together. He sings with me on stage, and it's just a dream come true. And he loves my children. He admires them. He respects them, and they enjoy him. So it's a great relationship, Belinda. And I just want to tell people out there that are in any kind of abusive situation to get help. That's not my mantra. It's not something that I talk about a lot, kind of like you, but when the subject comes up, I'm very free to talk and encourage people that there is life after those types of relationships, and that God is a God that is always with you, and he loves you, and he doesn't want his children hurt. So get help, and know that God loves you.
That's a wonderful, wonderful thing to just share with everyone. It really is. And it kind of leads into this. I love this next song that we're going to play called Let Go. And it really just talks about moving from those dark places into the light that the Lord provides for us and into a better life. And so tell us a little bit about this song before we play it.
Well, I heard it off of another lady's album, and I absolutely loved it. It was it just spoke my heart, and it encourages as people listen to it in the audience. I can see people, their minds working, their emotions working. They'll tear up, they'll nod, they'll look away, and they understand what I'm talking about. It's a song that reaches into people's hearts and gives them a tug to let those things that are encumbering them, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, and to let that go, because it only brings us down. It never hurts. Doesn't hurt the one that brought it to you. It only hurts you and holds you
exactly.
back.
Exactly. 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 Couldn't agree more. So let's listen to Let Go.
Someone has hurt you, but you don't know why. You cover the pain when you put on a smile, but you know the pain is still there. You wonder if there'll ever be a time when you can open your heart and everything's fine, but you won't. You just keep it inside. I may not understand what you've been through, but I know someone who's waiting just for you to just let go. Because of my own fears, to just let go, trust in the maker of your heart. Let go, trust that the pieces torn apart can be healed. The longer you hold out, the weaker you become. The healing can all the pain we know, it's like a knife that cuts and wounds the soul, and we don't realize the damage it does, but we can know the peace that only comes when we let go, trust in the maker of your heart. Let it go, trust that the pieces torn apart can be healed.
That is just a wonderful song, Susie, and it couldn't say it better, you know, because there's so much freedom in forgiveness, and I would just really encourage people. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've heard people just say, oh, well, you don't know what they did. I can't forgive them, and somehow in their heart or in their mind, they feel like by forgiving them, they are like saying it was okay or some kind of approval. But it's just the opposite. Like you said, they could care less if you ever forgive them. That it's not for them. It's for you to let go of that, you know, cancerous piece of emotion that you tuck away in your heart, to just cut it out and throw it away and not give them that piece of you anymore. You're taking that piece back. You take
that piece back.
And then move on with your life. It was a powerful song and beautifully done.
Yeah.
It was very great. Well,
thank you for sharing
that. I know that's a difficult thing to share with people, and I just really appreciate your just being so open and just gracious and lovely about all of that. And I want to kind of bring the show to a close on a much happier note. And we love to deal with these difficult things. People need to hear that. But I do want to kind of wind the show down with some more fun kind of things and cool kind of things. And one of them that I love is you have a show called Cowboy Church TV. Is that on RFD TV, I believe?
Yes, it is. RFD TV, that's on Dish and Direct. And, it's been going for, probably about since 2007. And Rob Weaver and I, who is a Cowboy Church pastor down in Cleburne, Texas, for Shepherd's Valley Cowboy Church, he does the preaching, and I do most of the singing. So we're co-hosts for that, and it's probably the next thing we're going to do together is down at the American at the Cowboy Stadium down in Dallas, and it's the big rodeo that's put on by RFD-TV. And so we'll be doing Cowboy Church down there on March the 1st at 8:30 in the morning. So we'll be taping for that. Yeah.
Oh, that's
so it'll be
wonderful.
Really good. Yeah.
Absolutely. They can go on RFD-TV and watch the show, and probably all of this is also on your website where people can go and see where you are and what's going on, which is very cool. But gosh, I love Cowboy Church. I love everything about it. It's probably one of the most fun things that are a part of any of the festivals or any of the events that I'm involved in around the country. And there's just such a precious, sweet spirit about Cowboy Church that's just kind of meets everybody where they are. There's no judgment. There's no agenda. It's just let's all just get together and love the Lord. And I'm so delighted that you've taken that to television. That's awesome.
Well, thank you very much. We enjoy it, and it's a great avenue. And we've noticed that through the emails and through our Facebook page that people who aren't necessarily cowboys love Cowboy Church, and what an outreach that is.
It is. Oh, just such a good job. So, and I'll have to see if I can find it online, because actually we're on the road so much, I don't even bother having any kind of cable or any kind of TV like that, because when I am home, I don't have time to watch TV anyway. So
me and you both.
I'll have to see if I
That's
can
exactly
find it on,
right.
online. But there's a song that I want to do before we say goodbye to you, and it kind of harkens back to the love of your life that you have sharing your life now. And it's a duet that you have done with Paul Overstreet, I believe. And I so love this song. And with your permission, I am so ripping it off. I'm so going to learn this song and start doing it. I just love this song. And I don't know if there's a story behind it that you'd like to share. We'd sure love to hear it.
Well, it was when I was recording Real Love, the album that it's on, and Real Love has just been re-released. We put a brand new album cover on it, and so it's available on our website, SusieMcIntyre.com, or they can call 800-447-1987 and order this CD. It's got I Saw Him in Your Eyes and Brighter Day and Nothing I Like Better Than Talking About My Jesus. So it's a song that Paul Overstreet had written when I was recording Real Love, and I just fell in love with it too. And it told a great story of reuniting and working on relationships. But it says, I don't love you like I used to, I love you more. And Mark and I are going to sing this song on stage as well. So we're going to have fun with it, and it really encourages those relationships.
Oh, it does, because I love how honest the lyrics are about, yeah, it's not all, you know, it's not all roses. There are definitely challenges, but that has just only made it everything better. And so I just
That's right.
love this song. So let's listen to I Don't Love You Like I Used To.
I see that look in your eyes. Wondering if my heart still loves you. You're wondering after all this time if I still think the whole world of you. I know we've had our fights, our share of sleepless nights. Falling more in love each moment I'm around you.
Oh my goodness, I have the biggest smile on my face right now.
That's a happy song, isn't it?
It is a happy song. It is just delightful. I just love it. And I just love that you just were so gracious to come on the show. You don't know me from Adam, Susie, and it was just, you responded right away, and you were just so sweet about all of it. And I just am so delighted that you shared this time and you shared your heart with us. And thank you so much for being part of the show.
Hey, you are so welcome, and thank you for inviting me. It's we all get the opportunity at one point in our life to tell our story and for our life to be an inspiration to other people. So something that I say or what I think about may help other people in their life, and that's a mission of mine. And so I just want our light to so shine that people glorify God. So
that's exactly right. And if anybody out there would like to find out more about Susie and to get hold of her music and find out where she's going to be, you know, please do go visit her website, SusieMcIntyre.com. And it's a lovely website. It's fun to go cruise around in there. You have a beautiful website, Susie. And again, thank you so, so much for being on the show. And I just really love this song that we're going to close out your segment with, called There Is a Candle. Is there anything you'd like to tell us about that before we play the song?
Well, it was written by Chris Rice, and it was a song that he led young people around campfires back in the 80s, 90s and 80s. And so it was a song that was pitched to me when I was recording Real Love. And I thought, oh, you know, that's not country enough for me. That's not country. And Paul Overstreet said, I don't care if it's country or rock and roll. This is a hit song, and people need to hear this song. And so I recorded it. They thought it was a little bit too country to release out there to Christian music. And Kathy Tricoli recorded it not long after I did, and it was a mega hit for her. So it's a song that I can sing on stage and encourage people to go out those doors, live their lives in such a way that people see Christ in them.
Ah, well, it is a beautiful song, and thank you again for being with us, Susie, and just God, many, many blessings on your life and your ministry, and I sure hope our trails cross again.
Yes, I hope to see you again
in person. It would be lovely.
Yes, we'd love to come back to Prescott, and God bless everybody out there, wherever you are. It's right now is your life. Live it to the fullest.
Every single day. So let's close out this segment with Susie with There Is a Candle.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings the fire, ignites the candle, and makes his home. Carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, confused and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go. Frustrated brother, see how he's tried to light his own candle some other way. See now our sister, she's been wronged and lied to, and still holds a candle without a flame.
Oh, I love that song. It's amazing. And as I was picking in Susie's bio and just reading it and thinking about her extraordinary life and what she's endured and what she's become, this scripture came to mind. And then when I heard that song, it just was an affirmation that this was the scripture that the Lord wanted me to share today. And it's found in Matthew 5, 13 through 16. And I love the Amplified Bible version. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, its strength, its quality, how can its saltiness be restored? It is not good for anything any longer but to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by man. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds, and thereby recognize, honor, praise, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You know, no matter who you are and what mistakes you've made or will make for that matter, you are a child of the Most High God. It is He who makes you the salt of the earth. It is Him that fills your life with light. When you do your very best to honor that, in spite of all your mistakes, you become that noble light that directs all praise and glory back to our Lord. So please know how precious you are to our Heavenly Father, and I encourage you to go and be the light. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. Thank you, Susie. And we hope that you can join us each week. But if you can't, please remember that all of these shows are archived for you to go back to and listen to at your convenience or re-listen to shows that particularly touched your heart. So until next week, blessed trails.
Trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior. And wilt be with me.